so far didn't get recorded. Isn't that nice?
No need to waste 10 minutes on my fluff.
I just want to welcome you to the global reset. And of course, that's not this conversation. That's about the world. We're in it. Today, we're not going to be talking directly about that. And yet, these six articles that I think most of us seem to have had a chance to read could potentially help each of us calibrate as we do face that global reset. This is my first time doing this. I've had some good role models. Last week, Gina did one, and some of you were in on that. What I'm going to be pushing for is to leave enough time at the end to be able to get to a new question that I haven't heard before directly, and that is the question of, what are you going to do about it? That this is a group that is not a sit back and let's just talk. This is a pretty action-oriented group, and I'm hoping to up that kind of a stress on ourselves to try to do something. For example, you may have seen one of these articles, and like I did, I said, "Huh, what's that?" And that could mean I need to go find out what's that. It was something, a new twist, or maybe something entirely new. So that could be a, what am I going to do about it? On the other side, you might have found that almost all of these articles, or all of them, reinforce what you already know and do. And then same question. So if they're reinforcing, is that a cue for you to up your ante to get into it even more? We'll find out. We'll see how that question comes up at the end. In the meantime, what I'm going to do is my best to be concise. I'm going to summarize these articles and try to do it as shortly as I can, hoping to be a role model for everybody else that when you speak up, you won't get it right any more than I will. But if you can keep it fairly short, you'll get to hear everybody. And that's my hope. Everybody who wants to get a word in will get a chance to do it. All right. Well, I'm going to try my best now to do these summaries as concisely as I can. And what I'm going to ask of you is, while I'm summarizing, your job, if you so accept, is to catch me. If I'm summarizing it wrong, to notice that. Or if you have a different twist when you read it, to notice that. Not that I want you to interrupt me, but I want you to bring those differences in. Right after my summary, we're going to kick right into the very first discussion. And that is, what are your favorites? We're going to do a poll, find out the favorites, and then we're going to talk about one or two of those. And that's where I hope your biases, your editorial opinion gets out there. All right, here are the articles. First one, three essential steps to make 2021 more inclusive. I saw this as a takeoff on a lot of CEOs and company leaders who are pledging to really make our company be more inclusive. And I saw this article as it's a taunt to those leaders. It's a taunt that says, don't just talk about it, show us some actions. And the article recommends three actions. That's the three steps. Measurement, measure how inclusive we're being, funding it, and a focus in particular on the mental health issues. That's the first. Second article, design for ecosystems, emergence and attraction. Starts with a picture of fish in a fishbowl. The fish in a fishbowl is intriguing about ecosystems. What the article tends to be is a very specific method of dealing with those ecosystems. Platform design thinking. And that's where the focus was throughout the article. First premise is that there is no such thing as an inside edge and outside of an organization anymore. It's blurred continuum. They use that as a starting premise. And then they got into one of the biggest questions was, is this a situation we're in that's about emergence? Emergence, as they defined it, does the context not even exist yet? Are we entering entirely uncharted territory? That's emergence. Or is it attraction, that there is a context and our work is to pull people into that context? That's the big question they came up with. Okay, Article 3, the essence of strategy is now how to change. They started with the idea of the traditional strategy being a lot more about a broadly stable world or broadly stable situation we're in. They gave a couple examples of traditional strategies that included McKinsey's one that I at least I've been familiar with for a long time, that has the cash cows and the dogs. And they gave a couple examples of traditional, but they said, nope, no longer. Now the essence is more about contributing to the broader society. And that's where they put their eggs in the basket of MAD, M-A-D. The question being, is our strategy mostly about a magnitude? We're going down a path and we need to strengthen it. That's magnitude. Is it about activity? We need to get new ways, better ways of pursuing this path we've been on, or D, for entirely new D direction. And that was the big choice that they were coming up with, giving examples such as Amazon and Walmart that did their pivot at the right time and dealt with new direction. Also giving examples such as Sears and Kmart that they said didn't do that. Article number 4, use OKRs to set goals for teams, not for individuals. So objectives and key results. The critique they gave is that often when the OKRs are given to individuals, those individuals twist and manipulate and make it easier to achieve the OKRs. And what they recommend instead is make it individual contribution to team goals. So set the team goals at the team OKRs and then have individuals contributing to that. And then they give examples of that. Number 5, what is leadership? And thoughts for a new year. A short commentary, that's what this was. It was the idea that leadership is not a title and that anyone can be a leader, and with the opinion, everybody should be a leader. And then they gave the idea, what is a leader? It's about creating followers, using a Bennis quote. And they named a similarity to values-based leadership and servant leadership. They're putting this in the center. Final one, number 6. 25-year-old bet comes due. Has technology destroyed our society? And it was a journalist walks in 25 years ago the author walked into the office of a journalist and they made this big bet. 25 years now later, the bet comes due, but it was the author who said, I don't accept when the editor said he had won, the author said he didn't. So the author is contending, the world is full of disasters, and it proves closer to my prediction that technology always has been ruining society. So that's my shot at doing these in a short way. Let's go on to first a poll to find out of those of you who read the article, what's your favorite? And we'll start by discussing the one or two top favorites to see what you really thought. If you take the poll, Tanya will give us the results.
Yeah, about half of you have answered. Oh, it's running close.
The question of whether it was most useful versus favorite are different for me. So should I answer which one did I find most useful? That's been posed, or should I answer which one was my favorite?
Which one do you want us to talk about? Probably is the ultimate question.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. Great question.
Okay, Carol.
All right. I'm going to share the results now. It was a split amongst many things.
A lot of contenders here. Looks like strategy is how to change one by a short amount over, three ties for second place. You can see the results too. It seems to me we ought to just jump in and talk about the essence of strategy is how to change, and then take some shots at those next three. It'd be interesting when we get to the next conversation, the next discussion, which will be about the most challenging or tension causing. If we could just start into the essence of strategy, the way we work it traditionally here is whoever speaks up first is first. And then after that, the others of you, if you could use that hand raising technique that we tried to work out, I'll do my best to call on you so that we get as many as we possibly can. And I'll try not to call on people who didn't want to speak. Is there somebody who wants to jump in and get the conversation rolling about that article?
William looks ready.
William, go for it.
Yeah, I raised my hand. I thought I'd start off with that as opposed to jumping in. So,
fair enough.
I'm just fascinated. I was doing a workshop in Abu Dhabi on operating models and with a real focus on strategy. And right now I'm in a 80,000 person financial organization in the United States. And strategy has changed so much. And it's just like organization design. It's no longer a mechanistic approach. And so what I appreciated about this article was the discussion, which is what I'm about the shift. How it's shifting particularly is interesting. My perspective about it is that it is shifting from a process really to a focus on what kinds of dynamics are occurring. And again, this article identified three different kinds of approaches. I think it was called the MAD approach. But to me, it's about rather than planning like it used to be, it's really about sensing and then responding, monitoring what's happening in the ecosystem, and then responding and changing the strategy based on what's emerging in the moment. So that was why I really liked it. It really, to me, kind of illustrates the real significant ground shift in the way we do strategy.
I see Craig's hand up.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that too, Bill. And the thing I also liked about it is I didn't see organization needing to adopt one of those approaches. I got the sense that organizations were most effective if they adopted each of those approaches, had all of those approaches. It's kind of when Stu Winby talks about the ambidextrous organization, being able to pursue something that they're doing now and making it and doing it really well, but then also having the adaptive part of the organization that explores different options and different ways of doing things. And I've always had a hunch that I think this really just reaffirms kind of a bias I've had all along, is that the meta strategy that most organizations have is how to be more adaptive and responsive to the environment.
Not seeing any other hands. Anybody want to just jump in? Mike.
One of the things that struck me about the article, particularly in the context of the other articles, is that it looks like you used to design strategies for your organization in the context of the environment. Now it looks like we're kind of shifting to this whole idea of designing a strategy for an ecosystem of stakeholders to move that whole ecosystem forward. So I'm wondering if that context is much broader. The second point is, used to design strategies for yourself, your own organization, but now it's a different focus. So the whole idea of who you're designing strategy for, the context is changing. That's something that occurred to me as I was reading these articles.
Catherine and then Gina.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to put an insight regarding org design. I think regarding our VUCA context and the speed of change, it's rather a question of not a methodology, but a kind of feeling and intuition. And being flexible and always jumping from, of course, one part of methodology, because we need a kind of methodology, but being open-minded on every insight, intuitive insight. And if we use some methodology, it's rather a question of mixing some different methodological insights rather than planning a very, large motor way and say, okay, step by step, we go there. I think regarding our context and the speed of change, we cannot do that in this way anymore. Am I making myself clear? I'm not sure. Sorry for my English. I haven't practiced a lot, so I forgot a lot. But
your English is fine, and so are your ideas.
Okay.
You want to?
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of take the other side. I had that towards the other end of my preferences. And the reason for that is I thought, okay, great point. You know, when it started off around, you have to look at what's changing, not what's staying the same. So that changed. What I didn't see in there was, and then it goes on to say, you know, don't invest in dead or dying things, you know, pivot to something that is not dead or dying. I mean, that's essentially what they were talking about. But I didn't see a way or anything helpful as far as making people realize that. Because if they realize that, you know, the people at Kmart and you know, the other Sears or whatever, the examples they gave, had they realized that, they most certainly would have done it. I mean, I don't think it really got to what is keeping these people from changing. And people there, I read a really good story, which I could find, maybe I'll go do that, because it was about the whole story of Sears. And it was just, you know, with all the pockets that realized there was a problem, but others didn't. So the sense-making didn't work in that case. And everywhere around them, they were watching Macy's put things together. They were watching Amazon put things together and still didn't change. I didn't feel like that article was especially helpful in getting to whatever it is that's keeping people from moving. So that was my take on the.
Sounds like you're agreeing with the need for it, but wish you had more guidance on how to or where first.
Yeah, it didn't seem helpful from that perspective to me.
Joel, you were next.
Sorry, yeah, Gina just actually made some fantastic points. I think I was gonna take a similar position that I actually really liked what Bill and Catherine, you both shared about sense-making and responding. For me, the article didn't actually go in that direction as much as I wanted. I like the way it frames change and adaptation, but then I still feel like it was proposing a method that felt a little bit mechanistic or, you know, the MADS framework that if we look at these three factors, we can still put bounds around strategy and be smart enough to figure it out. I even then happened to go on their website and they have an interesting 32 question diagnostic, but I felt like it was a little at cross purposes. And the other thing I was intrigued by was the fit for purpose. At our organization, we talk a lot about that. And I like the emphasis on external stakeholders, but then I thought that dimension on the access maybe needed more. You know, I felt like if I were to use that diagnostic and use that frame, I would still look at it more narrowly. So things I like, things I didn't.
You just articulated better than I did. That's what I was reacting to, because I don't think people can follow steps. I think it picks up from that leadership article. Sense making can be learned. It can't be taught, probably, like you said. And then the other thing is the other analogy they made was working out, staying in shape. You know, that's something that leaders would have to do. And I think that was the missing thing in that article. You know, again, I can't see we're stepping through another set of processes and tables and charts is going to make it different. That's, you said it better than I did. Thank you.
Jardina and Duyan.
Yeah, I'll be quick because I think you all covered the points. I just wanted to add to it this sense and respond concept. The only thing I just wanted to add there is that there's And I liked it. I like the concept of like thinking about your strategy in different buckets. But it, you know, there's this whole table here, which is very compelling about what actions you should take based on what you have sensed and sensed. And the whole problem is that it's the sensing. And I think I did a presentation on this, that it's the sense and respond. It's the and. We're really good at sensing. We're really good at responding. It's that and, that sense making, that we have so much trouble with in organizations. So a chart of how to respond is not where the problem is, because we don't get there. That's the problem.
And Duyen.
Thank you. What I would say is what struck me about the article is it's very, the concept is similar to the Kinevin framework. If any of you are familiar with that, with the complexity and it, you know, in that complex space, it is about sensing, experimenting and then responding versus maybe previous strategy, which is more of the obvious or simple or complicated. And the other thing about the pattern is, or what I heard in, you know, that was Mintzberg's idea of the five P's of strategy, one of them being pattern. And so all of these things are converging to me. And I guess on the one hand, it's not that new. I do like that kind of thinking about putting some sort of a, ironically, the structure or framework around it, but it's also, I wonder how we can converge those three different ideas. That's kind of where my head is.
Thanks. Well, just in terms of time frame, I'm going to suggest we begin to move on. I'm seeing this nice duality that Gina started, where I haven't heard any big disagreements about the premise of the article, that it, you know, things are getting bigger and more gyrating and more stakeholder oriented, but we still didn't get a clear idea, other than maybe the MAD process, we didn't get a clear idea what we might do about it. And that I want to plant that seed that some of you may in the closing say, here's what I want to do about that. I can take this somewhere in the near future. It's going to be tough to pick a second article. And just in terms of the way time is already flying, I'm going to ask, is one of you just dying to talk about one of those other articles? Because if you are, here's your chance. Would you just put it on the table and we will talk about that? And there are three ties. One is the design for ecosystems, one is the OKRs, and one is the 25-year bet. Anybody have one? You say, I want this one.
Okay, the platform one. That's the one that I thought was, and other people agreed because it got high votes as well. The what's useful in there is there's an epic confusion around what a platform actually is. So it put some light on that, which was very helpful. And the platform is distinct from the products. The platform is your basis, it's your foundation. The other thing that was very useful in there was the concept of amplifying and emerging. You know, and that tied in nicely with the, you know, the sense making and having to constantly evolve. So that was articulated very well, and it had some useful depictions. And then the other thing was, and it's funny, and because that's what we're all trying to do here. We're trying to find something that's emerging, or we're trying to amplify something. The other thing was just getting past this idea of scope, which is still a problem on everything, is, you know, the scope and the timeline. And it's really just, you don't really have a scope. You just have to pick some space over a continuum that is internal and external, and you have to work on that problem. And so I thought it kind of surfaced all those things really well. And what it did that I like is it gave you things to go track down. So that's always helpful too, the other things to follow up on and think about.
Well, thanks. And last time, Gina, you were the one who said, I want to take a different point of view or a different angle. I don't see any hands up. I don't see anybody wanting to disagree with you. Here's the last chance. Nope, I guess your assertiveness and your case seems to stand for the platform design.
Well, adding credit to the article, they did give you things to chase down. So that's always helpful.
It was a big one. Jardina might take you on, or she might agree.
I don't know if I'm going to agree or disagree. I just feel like I need to voice this. I wonder if anyone felt this way. I need like a tutor to help me read that article. I thought it was a lot, and it was confusing. Like, I thought it was hard. Like, I got the main points that you all listed, but then at some point I just couldn't follow. It was, it's, inside baseball.
Because it's a different business model. And that's why I thought that that was so helpful. I mean, that literally is a different business model to be able to say, I'm going to be a platform. And then whatever happens on there, you know, you all work it out. You know, and think in platform businesses are like PayPal or like eBay. I mean, they had no idea what people were going to sell on there. And so like just a quick example that you know, kind of like the amplifying and emerging, eBay started as that auction. What it has become is a community for collectors. So that's actually a side thing they never could have envisioned that, you know, if you're a serious collector, eBay is on your list of things that you research because, you know, that's, you find out a lot of things of who's got what and what's the inventory and that kind of thing. So every platform has some kind of angle like that. And so that's why that's so, because it's a different business model, I think that's why it's so dense, but that's also why that summary is so good, is to just take a totally different frame of reference around what a business might be.
I want to misquote you, Gina. If I misquote you effectively, you just said, just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's badly written.
And I agree. I said, I'm not smart enough to understand this article.
Yeah. Jordina, I'll just say, I wrote down the drawings are cool.
And so do
but
I.
But confusing. I said, I honestly felt like it was some cool strategy stuff, but I felt like I was looking at kitchen blueprints or too much architecture. I don't know. I lost it a little bit too, but there were some cool concepts, but it felt a little like you needed the user guide to go with it.
I'm going to say that when Jardina made her comment about hard to read, I didn't see any thumbs up going on the screen, but I saw a lot of giggles going on.
I think it was hard to read too, but I thought it was worth tackling.
If I may, I agree. And thank you, Jardina, for bringing that up, because I felt kind of stupid. but, you know, that's just my general state of being. But I actually went and downloaded their toolkit because I was like, I'm missing something here. I don't get it. I haven't gone through it yet. But yeah, I also want to say thank you, Gina, for giving me that summary and helping me when I go back and reread it, I think I maybe can get a better grasp on it based on what you've shared. Thank you.
It's one of those very complex and challenging and maybe written in that way too.
I would like to say something and a question to each of you actually. Do you read all the articles, or if not, how do you select the articles listed in the newsletter?
That's a question.
I usually read all of them.
All of them?
Yep. Except there have been some that have been like 60 pages or an hour-long webinar or podcast, and I don't invest that much time in those.
Actually, the number of pages is for me a criteria for non-reading.
We ask the curatorial board, Catherine. We usually, you know, if you participate, you read them all, and it has to be a manageable amount. And for a while, the curatorial board was giving us hour-long podcasts, and we said, please quit doing that because so many people couldn't do it. And so what you see at the bottom now, we've just done this recently, is that bonus content. And so the bonus content is longer. And so we don't usually plan to discuss it, but it's just something that's there. So that would be the way to prioritize, would be to pick the articles and ignore the bonus. Because it'll be longer, or so like if you see an hour long podcast, it'll be longer, that kind of thing.
Thank you, Joanna, for explanation. Thank you.
I'm going to suggest that we move on, because we already have, to that second kind of question, the articles that caused you tension. Now, as this conversation just brought up, the tension could be from a variety of reasons, but is there one of those articles that stood out that was difficult or disagreeable or whatever? Here's Tanya, put up the vote.
I always hear the Jeopardy music in the back of my mind.
I won't do that anymore.
All right, well, about half of you voted, so maybe you all just loved every single article.
Okay, a tie again. Design for ecosystems, as we just discussed, and the OKRs. Now, why don't we switch to talk about the OKRs article, just simply because we haven't. And again, let's take the same approach. If somebody either raises your hand or speaks up, you will be first.
All right, I'll go first. I'll be quick on this. So I live and breathe OKRs every day. So everything Jeff says is right. The only thing I would say is that I would add two things. One, teams can screw up OKRs just the way individuals can. The way he describes individuals screwing them up, so can teams. So I have teams say to me, just send me the template. I'm like, nope, because you're going to fill it out wrong. So it's not as easy for anybody. The second thing I would add is that a lot of us use hypothesis statements for the OKR so that we are actually setting it up as an experiment to be proven with the key results. And that works really well because we're not assuming that we're right. So that's a thing that a lot of people have adopted. I would just add that in there.
Okay. You're saying that individuals can do a bad job too, but so can teams. Not hear any, Gina. Okay.
Well, what she said, and I would also add, it is kind of not fixing the whole problem with a matrix organization and everybody doing their own thing, because there's, you know, in addition to the individuals and the teams kind of gaming this, they're often not aligned around anything. So you still have everybody just off in their own space with their own OKRs that are not actually connected to anything, like a value stream. It's very, very hard to get those connected. And so we've had some success, you know, on a smaller level, you know, connecting this team and this group and that group, but I have not read or experienced it on a large scale level where it's working really well. Would like to hear from anybody else on that, but that's just been from my corner of the world.
Now, William, you had your hand up. Did you still have it up?
I think he was just clapping. And I'm curious, Arnold, you unmuted yourself. Were you hoping to chime in, but didn't need to do your hand?
I thought what was interesting about the article was, and as well, so somewhat troubling, was the whole idea of, you know, of objectives, you know, and, you know, as sort of a measurement tool in terms of creating value for what your strategy or what your effort is. But I mean, it's something that I deal with every day with my clients, you know, that whatever strategies we begin to develop with them, you know, they all want to focus on, you know, how do you measure success? You know, and whether this is team-based, like this article was focused on, which I think is good because it puts the sort of onus on the team as opposed to the individual, which is another theme that I talk to clients about, is that often, you know, any initiative, particularly of change, isn't about individual change, it's about collective change, you know, and how you break those silos down. And if your organization is rewarding you as an individual, as opposed to a team, it's going to tend to, you know, not be successful. But I think the challenge with the article, you know, is, you know, how do you quantify value and goals as objectives for outcome? You know, and too often I see, I get sort of, you know, wrapped up in these narratives with clients about the only thing that you could be able to measure in an organization in terms of value that's quantifiable, you know, is sort of return on investment and expense, as opposed to that intangible value, which I think, you know, most of us know probably has more importance, you know, in terms of the success of an organization. But how do you quantify that? And I think that's, you know, I enjoyed the article because of how it framed the conversation around value and goals as objectives. It would have been nice to go into more about how you sort of, you know, measure success through those lenses.
It was a pretty short article. I want to make sure that Lillian, Megan, and Jonathan, you have a chance. You may or may not want to pipe up on any of these, but I'm pointing at you after Catherine speaks that if you have something you want to put in, please dive in. We only have a few more minutes before we shift gears again. Yeah. Catherine?
Yes, I just wanted, of course, I don't have the answer to the question of the previous lecture. How could you measure the success of an organization? ? And the answer is certainly not easy, and probably there won't be only one answer to this question. But I would just put my insight regarding the article of OKR. Is if we admit that in the future we ask for more and more collaborative work, okay, it would mean the end of the individual OKR. we should never have individual or objectives, only collective ones. And the question is, how could you set some collective objectives regarding that the all the work is splitted into different teams, hierarchical teams, but also project teams, transversal ones. So that leads to another question, to how can you set some real effective OKR? I mean, team, collective OKR.
And that might be one of those that goes into, somebody's going to pick up on that as a follow-up to this. So let me give a chance, Lillian, Megan, Jonathan, here's your chance. All you have to do is unmute and jump in, or you don't have to. This is just a little bit of pressure if you want to. And I looks like I'm not seeing that's okay. And what I would like to do is move on to just a quick hit at whether there have been any themes that anybody saw. Anything that jumps out at you, doesn't have to be all address this, but you might find three or four articles really came together with a convergence. If you just, again, speak up, we'll hear some themes, and then we're going to move on to the question, what are we going to do about it? Any themes from anybody?
Well, mine was kind of a near miss. I mean, every article I felt like had an opportunity to kind of, catch something that it didn't. Even the platform one, could have been better articulated. Mm-hmm. And then as you go across it, that was the theme of all the content, was not making sense, or how to make sense, or failure to make sense, or something like that. So that was kind of what I stepped away with.
The challenge of sense making, something challenge like that. Sense-making,
yes, okay, in the articles and in general.
All right.
Yeah, I would build on that and just say,
good insight.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm just, that made me think, it's like, what was that? It's almost like don't ignore the future, but don't try to predict it, or don't try to control it. I don't know, even that Wired article, it was sort of a story to me and two people who were having a barroom argument, but they were both trying to overly predict. I don't know. I guess there's some theme for me about we need to widen our view, but the here and now is where we can make the most happen. So let's stick to that. I don't know.
Yeah, the theme that emerged for me, seemed to be a very strong emphasis on community, and to some degree inclusion as well. When you look at exploring the emergence of a platform, that's what is the community. If you look at attraction, it's creating a community for a focus. If you look at leadership that powers distributed, the whole theme that came through for me across these articles was this idea of the importance of community, building it, empowering it, and OKRs in terms of measuring it, in terms of what it focused on.
One of the first things you said today, Mike, was something about broadening the view of stakeholders. And it sounds like you might still be on that same theme, that the ecosystems, the blurring lines, may be blurring their way toward including more different kinds of people in more different kinds of ways, or something like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, very much so. It seems to be the case. I remember in work I was doing it at Amoco, we started to bring the system in to do the design work in terms of improving processes, in terms of figuring out how we were going to work with each other to meet everybody's needs. So that seems to be a theme that I see in these materials.
Okay, last chance on themes. Arnold.
I think there was sort of this underlying theme, though not necessarily that was, overtly obvious in terms of, disruption. And I think that, disruption is sort of resulting in a theme that I saw in most of the articles, at least. Whether it's, using OKRs, or whether it's, designing for inclusivity. It all touches on themes that organizations are going through now. you know, and particularly the one on strategy, you know, which obviously talked about change, you know, as the basis of strategies. But so I think that there was sort of this underlying, you know, notion that a lot of the direction of the article, you know, was based on various types of disruptions that organizations are facing today in a hugely, you know, disruptive sort of world. The other thing that I want to sort of, you know, briefly add, which sometimes is frustrating about the articles, and I think it plays up to what, you know, a question earlier, you know, about how the articles are chosen, you know, in terms of length. I think, you know, at least for me, and I'm sure some other people share that, you know, many of us don't have time to read 25-page papers, you know, while we're doing other, you know, related work activities. But I think one of the shortcomings of the short articles is that they begin to touch on very relevant ideas and concepts, but because of the length of them, you know, as opposed to how they're structured by the author, they don't go into the themes that really, you know, add more substance to it. And it makes some of the articles seem, you know, more ambiguous than the notion is. So I think that's sort of a challenge in terms of, you know, going with three or five page, you know, articles versus a 25, you know, how much substance do we really get out of it?
So maybe one of the challenges that our world is now facing is more than just including the diverse stakeholders into the in this disruptive time, but how to communicate better, because people like us will be a little critical whether you're too short or too long. That's a tough one. Anybody here has tried to write, it's a tough choice, and the world needs to do better at it, if I'm getting you right, Arnold. Well, I would like to raise the question. I wish we could have like about 20 minutes with each person, try to pin you down and say, no, really, what are you gonna do about it? What are you gonna change about your life? What are you gonna do? But we don't. But I would appreciate if anybody is going through some struggle either because there's something you feel like you gotta get a better grip on, or struggle because you have a good grip and you wanna, you know, get moving on that, and these articles reinforce that. But what would be something that you're thinking about now, something that's challenging for you, that in the near future you want to do as a result of these articles and the conversation?
I'm going to go back and wrangle with the platform thing some more. I mean, I had already wrangled with platform things, but I'm going to continue that march because I think it's critical. I mean, it is a business model. It matters. There's multiple dimensions beyond consumer, you know, in platforms and content. And so I think that's worth diving into. So that's what I'm headed into, even though I don't have the immediate urgent need at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to play.
Jardina, I saw your hand up.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I'll go really quick. I have two things. So one is, I just want to put an offer out there. I heard some questions about OKR examples, which I have a crap ton of examples and what happened and how they worked out and how they changed the organization. So if anybody wants to hear about that, or I can share. So that's one. And then two, the What is Leadership article. I had been working on something like that, only different. So that is what I'm going to do, is I'm going to finish that.
Can you send your examples to Tanya? Because she sends out the recording link and she could just send it to everybody, because I think everybody'd like to have it. So if you can connect that way, that would be wonderful.
Okay, I have to make it into something readable, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah. With this group, you better make it readable.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know how we'll get. Yeah.
Okay.
Joel?
I was just going to say, actually, related to OKRs, I'm finally going to play around with them. I've sort of thought about them, read about them, maybe resisted them for whatever reason, but I'm inspired to give that a try. And I think specifically, I like the idea, and it's, I think it was said in the article, but it's not about what you do. It's about driving an outcome in your customer or something else. So I just always, I kind of subscribe to the notion that our goals are best achieved indirectly. And sometimes people, when you say that, look at you a little crazy. And I think OKRs in a way help you achieve something, but by thinking about an outcome that's not directly what you're doing, but about someone else. So anyway, I'm excited to play around with that and see if that can get some traction at our organization.
I hear echoes of Catherine's spreading out the OKRs as you're talking, Joel.
Yeah.
I thought I saw a thumbs up or a hand from Arnold, but I wasn't sure which. Was it, did you? No, okay. Anybody else that's feeling totally discombobulated, no clue what you're gonna do next, and you're gonna tell us that?
Yes, I can jump. Yes, personally, I'm currently working with one CEO on how to measure the efficiency of his organization. So I'm really interested about the different insights as a mix between the article on leadership, because there is a question of leadership when we talk about the efficiency of an organization. And secondly, the OKR, article, which can, the collective dimension. But of course, I don't have any answer. I'm not sure to find them as well. But I think it kind of mix between these two insights, leadership and OKR, collective one. So thanks for the insight.
In the way you said that, Catherine, you're not alone. I've heard a number of people today say things in ways that make me think in this group, there's a norm of humility, that this is a place where people can stumble and shoot for big ideas and be wrong and say, it's hard to read. I don't know what to do. And I have to say, I really appreciate that. Keeps me coming back to this group. Smart people who also have that humility. Well, I hope that each of us, including me, by the way, I have my own set of notes about some things I want to take on to do differently. And I know it's humble. I certainly haven't conquered it either. Thank you for sharing that. I would like to close this out and give it back to Tanya. She actually has a couple of things she wants to poll us on. And then if you want, you can stay after the session closes. We're going to spend maybe 10, 15 minutes or so just hearing feedback about the session and what, you know, where we might go next. It's very informal. You're welcome to stay and certainly don't have to feel obligated. So thank you for taking on this last question as well as the expansive earlier questions. Let me give it back to you, Tanya.
Thanks, Bruce. The only thing I